When I was living in Madison, Wisconsin in the 1970s, I used to love seeing baby ducks. Ducklings are so cosmically innocent, their big soft eyes looking out at the world with such open curiosity and trust. How could I not thrill the one time I witnessed baby wood ducks jumping one by one from their warm, secure nest high up in a tree down to their mother calling softly from the unknown below? I saw them one by one, their tiny legs and feet extended, tiny flippers for wings fluttering madly in that literal leap of faith all the way down to the hard ground below. Each one seemed light as a marshmallow as it bounced on the ground, scrambled to its feet, and headed straight to its mother. The first day or two after wood duck babies leave the nest, the broods contain 8 or 10 baby ducks, sometimes even a dozen. I could often find the same families day after day, but invariably, as the babies grew, I'd be counting fewer and fewer in each brood. I'd feel a visceral sorrow for the existence of foxes and raccoons, though ironically the reason those hunters were so hell-bent on raiding duck families was to raise their own little baby foxes and raccoons, which elicit the same tender feelings in us humans. But having tender feelings towards specific baby ducks, I wasn't much interested in taking that broad and sympathetic a view toward the animals that killed them. One morning, as I watched a long line of tiny ducklings following their mother across a pond, the one I was specifically focused on through my binoculars was suddenly grabbed in the middle. Its tiny mouth opened in surprise and probably pain as it was jerked straight down into the water. Ever since that horrifying moment, I can't see baby ducks without fear for them overshadowing my delight. This year, during our spring warbler walks, we started seeing baby geese in May. The first family groups we saw all included 2 adults, presumably the parents, and 4 to 6 tiny, fluffy goslings. By the end of May, though, what looked like family units had grown dramatically, the goslings not just bigger in size, but much more numerous as well. One group at Park Point had over 40 goslings attended by a single adult. This is not evidence of super fertile females or that predation on baby geese has somehow magically disappeared. No, the geese are doing what a lot of ducks, especially diving ducks, do, combining families into large broods of young, forming what are often called nurseries or creches. The very first time I saw common eiders off the coast of Maine in 1993, I saw a single mother with at least 70 ducklings. I was shocked. I'd never seen anything like that before. That's when I learned about ducks doing this. Before their bodies are dense enough to dive well, the babies get their food in the shallows. When families combine resources, the mothers can take turns feeding in deeper water. I've hardly ever seen dabbling ducks combine broods like this. The mothers can get plenty of food right where their ducklings are, but this happens a lot with mergansers. David Harrington of KBXE sent me an amazing photo of a female common merganser leading 23 adorable ducklings. He generously gave me permission to post it on my blog. Canada geese are more and more forming creches too, probably to allow parents to take turns feeding and resting away from their broods. Like ducklings, the youngest, tiniest baby geese are still seen in small family groups, but after a few days, the parents are ready for a few breaks. Keeping them in creches keeps the young in the safest places, away from lurking predators that could never manage the huge adults, even as some of the adults go off to their favorite feeding places to rebuild their strength. Watching how resourceful birds can be in ensuring the world has a continuing supply of baby ducks and baby geese is ever so much more lovely and pleasant than watching baby ducks disappear into the depths, never to be seen again. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.